I'd like to speak this afternoon on why you won't quit. Why you won't quit. Why you won't quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just really, excuse my back, but I just really feel to say this to our young people's choir. Why you won't quit. God's going to speak to you today why you won't quit. And you know there's many reasons why we feel like some days our hands are heavy and our hearts are heavy. Some days where it just feels like too much. Where some days it's just that quitting or pulling back from what the Lord is saying or speaking just seems insurmountable. But the Lord is saying today, you won't quit. And I want to tell you why. It's really from lessons from Mary Magdalene. And I'm not going to talk this afternoon about leaving this place with kind of an exuberance, because in the flesh, exuberance, it just comes and goes like the mist. But we know that there are days of discouragement and despair. That's not a strange thing that happens to believers. But there is a scripture and in the New Testament, and it talks about, it says, "And certain women of our company made us astonished." And I believe that that is speaking, it's a type in the New Testament of the church. And there are people in the latter-day church that are going to astonish. They are going to give a power to astonish people. It's not that they don't know what days of despair is, but there will be a supernatural power not to quit. And in that not quitting, there'll be strength given in its place, supernatural, and there will be given power to astonish. And I just want to look briefly at the life of Mary Magdalene. She was a woman who was a follower of Jesus. And in his ministry on the earth. And the scripture tells us he, out of her was driven seven devils. She knew the love of her Savior and the power that came and in following him, and she was delivered. But her life is able to speak so deeply, and here is why. I feel the first reason that Mary Magdalene's life can speak to us on this whole issue of not quitting is that she didn't run from the cross. When many others did, when most of the followers of Jesus ran from that horrible day, she didn't run. And I want to say today that we learn a lot when we don't run from the cross. We learn a lot. We heard Josh in the wonderful testimonies we heard this afternoon, that he was saying how, you know, carrying that bag of cement, how he wanted to quit when he was so tired and it was so hot. And really, it wasn't a very glamorous job to dig those latrines. And yet when he said how this revelation came to him, that he realized that Jesus, the bag of cement wasn't near what the cross was. And when Christ carried that cross and wouldn't drop it for our sakes, that same revelation will be given us when we are truly at the end of things, that we will remember the cross. And as Mary Magdalene didn't leave that horrible place where everybody wants to run from, she was like kept there. And she couldn't leave that place of the cross. And you learn so much there. We learn ultimately that the cross is central to our faith. And whenever times get tough, whenever, no matter what we're facing, whenever that everybody will go, "You serve this God, look what's happening," or what you're facing. You know, beloved, I believe the cross forever settles the question whether God is good or not. The cross forever settles the question, "God, are you good?" No matter what this life brings us, we remember the cross and we remember Jesus. We remember our God who went to the cross and broke the power of sin and death and hell, that whosoever would come to him could know the freedom he died for, that when human beings were created in his image, we were created for freedom, free from that the blackness and the darkness of dominion of sin brings, and free to worship him, to know what it is to be clean, and know what it is to be forgiven, know what it is to be accepted and loved, know what it is to have a purpose in our life, know what it is that God knows our name and we know his. Know what it is to walk this earth with his Holy Spirit in us and the ability to love him and astonish this world. And the cross gave us all that. When Jesus went to the cross and broke the power of darkness over human being, when he didn't pull away from it and he gave his all that you and I could have his life, he could be in us, dwelling in us. She didn't run from that place. And beloved, if we don't run in the hard times from that beautiful place at the foot of the cross and we remember Jesus, no matter what we are carrying, no matter how heavy the burden, no matter how deep the discouragement, we will lift our eyes unto that hill and we will receive strength, supernatural strength that will break the power of darkness once again. As it broke it forever over the human race 2,000 years ago, it will break it for us again and again. You will not quit. I will not quit when, like Mary Magdalene, we don't run from the cross. No matter what life brings us, and we will always be able to call good in that place. You know, at that place, at the cross, as I said, you see a lot of things there. And one thing she saw, even though as Jesus died a slow, agonizing death there, she saw that Jesus was crucified with his arms wide open. And he died, as it were, with an unprotected heart. He died with his arms wide open. And that says so much. And with this unprotected heart, you know the scripture that says love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. She saw a Savior with his arms crucified wide open. And it was like, no matter who wanted to mock, no matter who had an opinion, he scorned it. It was to him, because he would win us. And whosoever would come to him, he would capture their heart. He died with his arms wide open and his heart unprotected. And beloved, many times the enemy wants to say, protect your heart. And even protect your heart from what God is asking you to do. And draw back. Sometimes maybe that's too much what he's asking. It seems like too much. But when we stand at the foot of the cross and we remember how he chose to die, that nothing we have ever done would ever change his willingness to die for us like that and forever speak through the ages. He would die with an unprotected heart. So too, you and I, so much, you know, when we think on that and we say, Lord, by your grace, I will live like that. I will refuse to try to protect my heart when, Lord, I've given it to you. And there can be no greater protection. And, you know, when we want to get cynical or when we want to pull back, when it seems too hard, as Mary Magdalene, we stay in that place where she was in our eyes of faith. We see a Savior who chose to die like that with an unprotected heart. We will be given strength to do the same. And the ability to astonish people comes from that place of saying, Lord, I gave you my heart. And it's yours. And as you died like that, you will give me strength to live and die like that. And it will be a wonderful life. And no matter how the enemy wants to say, no, don't go that extra step. Don't do that. Don't do all that surrender. Like Mary Magdalene, the power and the longing to quit will be broken when we say, Lord, I will live like that as you died. I will live. And then she realized, standing at the cross, When she didn't leave there, what else did she see? She also saw that Jesus didn't die alone. You know, often when we see a picture of a cross, it's just a solitary cross, isn't it? But in actuality, that day there were three crosses. The day that Jesus died, there were three crosses on that hill. He in the middle, and two others crucified beside him. And the scripture tells us that these two began to revile him. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. That means they began cursing him. And the cry went up. He saved himself. He saved others, but himself he cannot save. They were reviling Christ. And the Bible tells us clearly that both these young men on either side joined in on that. But you know, when you're dying, it's sort of like you have nothing to prove anymore. When you're dying and you're in agony, it's somehow truth makes its way to the surface. And I know from reading the scriptures that one of those that were crucified beside him before he died changed his mind about the man dying beside him. And I'm thinking that one of those young men crucified in an agony was probably at one point reviewing his whole life and thinking about what was the path that brought him to this kind of end, dying like an animal in public view, a spectacle. And it just began to roll in his mind. His life, maybe he felt, was a series of injustices or unfair advantages. He may have began to see and feel the rejection and the rage that had began to shape his life. Maybe he began to see that his whole life was one of unending pain towards the end, full of self-loathing or bitterness or loneliness. Whatever it was, it led him to be dying on a cross, crucified for his sin. And I don't know at what point he stopped reviling the man crucified beside him. I don't know at what point, but I know he did. And all of a sudden, was he all of a sudden aware too that the man beside him was also dying in agony? And then was he brought into so much more when he heard the man beside him whisper, "Father, forgive them"? Little by little he was brought, he would close his eyes and all the pain and the rage and the rebellion, and he would hang his head. And when he'd open his eyes, he would look and the man there, Christ, was still beside him. And would he close his eyes, suffering and dying by degrees, and open up his eyes and look, and he's still there? Was he drawing his last breath, thinking, "I'm dying," and opening his eyes and looking at the man beside him crucified, saying, "He's still there. There's nothing I can do, no kind of agony, no kind of pain I can escape to, no kind of sin, no feeling of utter rejection and blackness coming over my life, but I can't push him away. He's still there. Through every agony, every pain, every step of dying, he's still there. I can't push him away. He's still there." And at what point did he all of a sudden open his heart? Did Mary Magdalene stand there and see something of a young man dying with him? All of a sudden, something come over him, a change in him, and see Christ turn to him and say, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." And I'm seeing, knowing that something Mary at that cross, she heard and saw something that so few understood at that moment. That this Savior cannot, in our worst moments, we hang our head, we close our eyes, but we open them and he's still there. In the deepest part of our pit, he's still there. In the deepest part of our suffering, he's still there. He chooses to be there. He chooses to be there. And Mary at the foot of the cross saw it all. That this Savior won't ever leave us. No matter what we feel about ourselves, no matter what we're going through at that moment, he will not leave us. And then to hear, no, son, the best is yet to come. That today you're going to be with me. I have the power to break what it is that nailed you to that cross. In my death, what nailed you there is broken and will be forgiven. You have a future and the best is yet to come. I have come for you, and as surely as your pain can't push me away, my life, my death will take you to a place I have prepared for you. I love you, and you can't push me away. I'll still be there, and I will always be there. And Mary Magdalene saw that. And then I'm thinking Mary would... And we know that on the third day, after she saw Jesus die and she needed no convincing now that her Savior was dead, she saw him die at the cross. And on the third day, she went to bring spices to anoint his body. And the scripture says that in the garden, she meets the gardener and she asks, "Where have you taken this man that's supposed to the body of my Lord?" And he says her name, Mary. And at that moment, the scripture tells us that she realizes that it is Jesus and that he is alive. And she wants to throw herself on him because the worst 2 days of our life have come to an end and he is alive, and she wants to throw herself. And he says to her, "Touch me not." And that means, Mary, I'm revealing to you first that I am not dead, but I am alive. And the grave couldn't hold me. And a cross couldn't kill me. And where I've been for 2 days in death and hell cannot keep me from the life. For I am God, I am your Savior. And I'm the first to tell you this. But he's saying, now, Mary, you are going to be like the first fruits. You are going to be like the church that is now going, is being offered a brand new relationship with me. Because Mary used to know me by the flesh. You know what my voice sounds like. You know what my hands look like. You know what my face looks like. But now I am coming to you, and I'm going to say, you're not to cling to this flesh anymore, but you're to know me a brand new way, not the old way, but you're to know me by faith. You are knowing me not to cling onto flesh, but I'm going to give you a heart of faith. And the Bible says, blessed is he who has never seen him in the flesh, but yet believes in him. That's what he said to Thomas. And he was saying to Mary, you are like the first church who is going to believe now in a new way with the eyes of faith. And blessed is he who's never seen but believes. And you are being offered now a brand new relationship. You're going to know me by my Spirit. You're going to know me by the Spirit. And it's going to be a richer experience. It's going to be deeper. I'm going to take you places where before we were confined to you just looking at me in the with a physical body. But now I'm offering you a new kind of relationship by my Spirit. And I'm going to, by my Spirit now, live with you, live inside you. I'm going to send the Comforter. And you're going to have a brand new relationship with me. And so she goes and she says, the Lord, he is alive. And they didn't believe her for a season, but her testimony did not collapse. Her testimony did not fold. She was trying to say, you don't understand. He is alive. But now he is saying that we can know him in a new and more powerful way. And I know, because I've experienced it, when they scoffed her and they mocked her, she was not pushed away from that place of this new relationship by faith, by the Spirit, by life. And certain women of our company astonished us with their testimony, by what they knew, not by their head, but in their heart. And it gave them strength. And she had been to a grave, and she had been to a garden, and she found him in both places, alive and loving her. And it can't be taken from her. And Mary Magdalene undoubtedly was present in the upper room. And all those there were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were told when the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit was, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And she was with that faithful band of 120. And God, true to his word, after Jesus was ascended up into heaven when he physically in his body left this earth to go and to be joined with his Father, Jesus said, no, it's expedient. It's the best for you that I leave. Because if I leave, I will send the Comforter to you. I will send my Holy Spirit to you. And with my coming, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And here is Mary on that day of Pentecost, filled with power, knowing what she knows, deeply taught of the Lord, being a firsthand witness and experience of all she did at his cross and then in the garden. But you know the interesting thing? Is this woman filled now with the Holy Spirit, with power, deeply taught, absolutely disappears from the pages of Scripture. This woman who has had all these experiences. And beloved, I want to say to you today that that really is representative of the church today. That you and I are not going to fill pages of books with our renown. But as Mary was deeply taught of the Lord and filled with the power of God and then disappears from the history books, so also will we. But still deeply taught of the Lord and filled with power. Because, beloved, the Lord is saying that in this last days, you and I will be can have this same experience as Mary Magdalene did, all for a purpose. Even though we will not be renowned by the history books or Scripture, we still will be deeply taught and filled with the Holy Spirit. As we who are believers of Christ follow him. And even though we are not at the front of the line, we are going to break the power that our lives do not matter. I want to tell you today, your life filled with the Spirit of God and deeply taught matters. That you must hold the place that God gives you. That you must continue to follow him and break through the darkness. Because you have the power to astonish your world. The same as Mary Magdalene does. You and I follow her trajectory in many ways of not being the not many, not greatly known and not the mighty and not the noble. But still, beloved, she was leaving an imprint upon her generation. For God does not waste when he calls us, when he teaches us deeply through life experience, when he gives us this word that we may feast upon it, when he fills us with the Holy Spirit. Beloved, it is for a same purpose and end. For she was given a place to make an imprint on her generation, because coming up after her was a Phoebe, who the scripture says was a servant of the church, a servant of the church, was Priscilla, who with her husband became a teacher of doctrine. She made an imprint of freedom for the next generation. And beloved, you and I are to make an imprint of freedom for our generation and what's to come. No, we're not going to get the Nobel Prize. We're not going to be written up. But beloved, we have to be in our place. You know, in Scripture, it tells us another story about a woman in the Old Testament. And she was pushed. She was not found in her place. I've spoken to you this before, but I must repeat it. The story about Lot's wife. You know, beloved, she was right at the hour, at the moment of her deliverance. And she did not make it. Why? I want to say to you is that, you know, the story that she and her husband Lot, they were living in extremely wicked time. And Lot was living in the city of destruction. And it was now the time of wrath, and God was going to judge. And yet the Bible tells us that God sent an angel, not willing that Lot and his wife and his family perish. And God sent an angel of deliverance to walk through that wicked place on that eve of destruction to bring them out. And when the angels walked through that town and got to Lot's door, by the time they had gotten there, that the wickedness of the hour, all of a sudden the Bible says that the men of that city were trying to get at these angels to violently and sexually attack them. And they were pulled in, as it were, into Lot's house. And when the clamor of the place they lived, this wicked city that was about to know the judgment of God, what did Lot do? He offered his daughters to them. He was going to take his daughters and offer it for the same kind of violence that they were trying to do to these messengers of God. And I tell you, when those angels went to take Lot and his family and lead them right at their hour of deliverance, to lead them out of that city of destruction and lead them to a place of safety, Lot's wife froze. Was, beloved, was it because the one she was supposed to be, her leader spiritually, she couldn't follow him? Was it as he was leading them out, she couldn't get over what had just taken place in her home? Did she freeze? And she could not follow anymore, just looking at the back of that leader's head, her husband's head, and she couldn't go any farther. And frozen to her spot, she wanted to withdraw and was like, I can't do that. I can't follow. At the hour of her deliverance, she was removed from her appointed place, her hour of deliverance. And her daughters walk around her, and they follow their father, and they get to this, they leave the city doomed for destruction, and they are brought to a place of safety. But what does the scripture tell us in the full story of that? Is because that woman wasn't in her place, the daughters fearing that, you know, the purpose of their lives will never come to fruition. So they get their father drunk, they lie with him, they both become impregnated with their father, and they become the mother of Israel's enemies. For that's where Moab and Ammon came from, the enemies of Israel. And this woman wasn't in her place. This place that God, right in the hour of her deliverance, she couldn't go any farther, overcome by where her life had brought her. And she, where she was needed the most, and when she was have the greatest influence, who knows what God had for that woman? Who knows when they were brought out of that city of destruction? Who knows what the plan and purpose God had for her and the influence that she was to have? How many times has the church, like this woman, the beloved bride of Christ, they have stumbled because a human figure in front of them so greatly disappointed them, so greatly broke their heart, so greatly was what they had to face to follow that they couldn't do it. When my daughter was in college, she received the tragic news that her classmate had committed suicide. And this girl's mother had committed suicide 2 years before. And that young girl would get drunk. And she would rock in a corner. And she would cry and she'd say, Mom, wasn't I enough to live for? Wasn't I enough to live for? And you know, I believe that's the cry, the unheard cry in our streets today, in our families today. Why won't you and I quit? Because we're going to hear that cry, am I not enough to live for? Am I not enough to live for? You know, Lot's wife couldn't follow and drew back right at the hour of her deliverance. But Mary Magdalene was a woman who could be found in her place. And though she did not have the accolades of men, she saw everything that the Holy Spirit wanted to show her at the cross and understood it. And beloved, you and I are not going to quit when we are needed the most. We are not going to withdraw from our place when we remember, when we say, oh God, let the cry. Don't shut my ears to the cry that you want to me to hear. Don't close my eyes to the things that I'm supposed to see. Lord, you have enabled people to be in the place that you appointed for them, deeply taught of you, understanding the scriptures and filled with the Holy Spirit. And though people never wrote a book about them, their impact was felt. And that is the promise and the hope you and I have, that we will not grow weary in well-doing. Because as Mary Magdalene found it, that cross will be a place of strength where we can forgive, where we may find ourselves at times spiritually frozen, unable to follow. But the power of God will come upon us. He will break the unforgiveness. He will break the betrayal. If you have not walked as you should have walked, He will enable you and I to hear the cry, am I not enough to live for? Am I not enough to believe God for? Because your life has an impact. Your life means something. Your life in God is to have an influence, an ever-growing influence. And He will keep you to the end. Hallelujah. He will keep you to the end. If we ask Him, if we remember, if we say, God, I'm determined that I will not be like Lot's wife. And Lord, right at my hour of deliverance, draw back and go hard and frozen in the path. Lord, you're showing me that my life is to have an astonishment to it. And it is possible. And the power of despair and quitting is broken when we remember that your life is destined. Your life is to have a sphere and an influence that only God can give it, a radiance, a life to it, only He can give to it. And that it really does matter whether you and I show up. It matters. It matters. It matters. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil. You don't matter. You're a little one. There's no little ones in the kingdom of God. There are no little ones. You're saved or you're unsaved, loved and forgiven. There are no little ones. Your life matters. Keep following Him. Don't this thing of quitting and the discouragement. Stand at the cross, it'll be broken. Stand in your place, it'll be broken. Supernatural power will be given you. And the Lord will get much glory out of you in your place, supernaturally empowered. If we remember the story of Mary Magdalene, as we look to the power that only the Holy Spirit can give, that as we look at the cross, as we remember all that it means, all we've been delivered from, all we've been empowered to, beloved, we will make a difference, and you will not quit, and you will be found in your place till Christ comes. It is possible. And the church, beloved, and even now, we saw two people with a power to astonish us, did they not? Just by the simplest of testimonies. And yet we were encouraged and we said, Lord, what country do you want me to go to? Lord, how can I obey you? Lord, I thank you that my life, I may come in here feeling like I was bearing cement on my back, tired and exhausted. It's too hot for me. But Lord, you came and you revived me and you quickened me. You lifted the burden and you put your life in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will not die with our hearts with our arms crossed over a heart. We're going to live with an unprotected heart. But you want to know why? Because Christ protects it. He will protect it. And you and I don't have to draw back. Whatever he's asking you to, whatever he has been speaking to you lately, today, this afternoon, rise up in faith. Rise up. Your life matters. And Christ is here. He is here to turn the tide and to win the battle. He died that he could do that for us. And let's believe him. Will you stand with me? And just as the musicians come, there are people here like Lot's wife. You are battling and struggling with something, and you're just right on the brink of your deliverance, and that unforgiveness and that disappointment, or disappointment in yourself. The Lord is saying, come, come to me. I'll break the power of it. And you'll be given strength to keep on to your place of deliverance, out of that city of destruction, out of that dark place. And for some of you, that the overwhelming desire to give up, that you're not going to make it, that's a lie. You are going to make it. And the life God has planned for you, it's going to move forward today. He's going to break that despair. Scripture says, if I make my bed in hell, Lord, you are there. You are there. You are there. And so those that, if you're battling with something, but you know you're sensing, God, I feel like what you're asking me to do, I can't. Yes, you can. And today you know you can. This word has reached you. It has touched you. It has spoken to you today. So, as the musicians play, I just invite all those that the Lord is speaking, come to this place now. Move forward and believe him. Move out and say, Lord, I hear you today. I'm moving forward, Lord. You're going to break that darkness and heaviness that's been upon me. And I'm going to receive the life you've planned for me and the influence it's going to give me. You come now as the musicians sing. Hallelujah. I feel like we're a company of people ready to be astonished. Ready to be astonished at the depth of the power that Christ is going to give us, you, to forgive and to lay some things down. Astonished. Astonished. The power given you. And for those that are suffering and have suffered, as God only knows, and the battle it's been, God says, I'm going to astound you. I'm going to astound you. It's broken over you now. Its hold is broken. And you are going to be brought right into deliverance. You're not that last moment of deliverance. You're not going to freeze. The Lord is a man of war. He's made war with all that binds us and the sin that keeps us and the unforgiveness that imprisons us. He's made war with it and he's won. And he brings us through to victory. And he's astounding us even now. Hallelujah. And for those that may have felt they have wounded, and for those that, you know, like that young man on the cross, just couldn't push him away. He was still there. That's the depth of his love for us. Hallelujah. And from that place, we're going to astound people at how deeply we have forgiven, how much we want to walk on with Jesus. Just walk on right to the end. The influence God has planned for you, an ever-increasing influence in your testimony, in your life, is found when we live at the cross, in looking at love, the love of it and the power of it, and then brought through, you know, to the victory that the cross alone gives us. And Lord, I just thank you today for, Lord, you're making your church an astonishment. You are making us an astonishment. Now, Lord, go to the depths of the unforgiveness. Go to the depths, Lord, of the fear. Go to the depths of the anger. Go to the depths, Lord, of all that is here. Lord, that those, your loved, your beloved bride that's come forward, Lord, to put it at your feet. Lord, it's only possible at the cross. Some things are so deep, Lord. It's only done at the cross. And I thank you, Lord, you brought them to a place, Lord, just like Mary Magdalene, of seeing and knowing so much. And I thank you, Lord. You are astonishing us, Lord, by the power and love you're sending now for your glory. Thank you, Lord. We're not afraid, Lord, of the life you've planned for us. We live with unprotected hearts, just like you died. And we go forward with your love that gives us courage. Perfect love casts out fear. And I thank you, Lord, whenever we're tempted to draw back, we'll run back to that place of strength, the foot of your cross, Lord. And we will become an astonishment to our world and an ever-increasing influence of your power and life. Bless everyone, Lord, that's come to this altar now. Go to the depths, Lord. Break it up by your power. Go to the depths. Go to the depths. Go to the depths, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence here. And you are doing what you alone can do. Thank you for the release now, Lord. Thank you for the release as we give it to you. The release and the burden is lifted. That cement bag is gone, Lord. And I thank you. You will take us through to the end. We will not draw back in the hour of our deliverance. Where you are taking us as a church through to the high ground of victory and deliverance. We thank you. We receive it, Lord, today. You are with us. Who can be against us? You are with us, Lord. You are for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for the burden, Lord, that you have broken up and you have removed from our lives, Lord. And we give you the praise. Lord, I ask you now, just come upon everyone in a special way, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort in a special way. Give strength and courage, Lord, for you are worthy of it and you will not disappoint us. You, Lord, will astonish us and make us an astonishment. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.